I see your dirty face hide behind your...
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Well, Barry, you've done it again.
Yeah, I knew that would set a few people off.
Yes, you've struck a nerve, but you're absolutely right about it. I mean, Josh Rapp and I are on the same page because I experienced it firsthand with Taylor. The baby needs the bad stuff so they build up their immune system. Like, the first year, Lisa and her mom were dead set we needed a nanny. But we realized that the baby wasn't getting out, wasn't socializing, and wasn't getting out in society where there's germs. So she was sick for the first 3 months. Literally, the entire 3 months. But every time we took her to the pediatrician, they didn't give us a prescription. They said, it's part of them building their immune system.
Yeah.
And once they do, even my buddy said, it's going to be hellacious on you while she's sick. Once she gets over it, you will be so happily surprised at how great it is that her immune system got built up. That kid right there is going to have issues.
It's a bubble baby.
Yeah.
In the
making. Boy in the bubble.
Yeah. It's ridiculous. Oh, God. Somebody said, Barry, you should take your diarrhea and poop anywhere cat's with you and go meet the baby. I should.
Yeah?
Just, yeah.
Oh, but the combination of the cat hair and the poop. Yeah, absolutely.
Like, who says you have to show proof of being vaccinated before you see my baby? Get the
Chan said, I'm surprised the mom didn't want to do personal background checks before seeing the baby. Don't sell her short. There's still time.
Stupid ass. That's
so weird.
It's
quite possible.
That's so weird.
I'm going to need you to bring your laptop computer with the latest proof of your immunization records. A fingerprint. God.
I would lick that baby all over the face. No kissing. Just all over.
All right. Quentin wants to get in here on this baby topic. Quentin, it's been a while. What's up, buddy?
Hey, what's going on, guys? Hey, good show and good topic.
Appreciate
that. Good thing you got rid of that other Jewish guy, man. Now I guess you only live with a black Jewish guy now, but not sure if you heard he got his black card revoked. So
I heard about that.
He's Jewish now.
Yeah.
How does one get his black card back?
That's a tough one, man. That's a tough one. That's a good question, though, but that's another topic.
Okay.
Hey, but about your friend, hell, I'm surprised she didn't ask for a passport and proof of nationality before you come see the baby.
Yeah. Isn't that weird? I've never heard of anything like that in my life.
But obviously, like you guys were talking about earlier, she must be a first-time mother because, yes, I remember my wife when we first had our first son. Yeah, I mean, she wanted every freaking part of the house covered with pillows and to make sure nothing happened to his butt or anything like that. But kind of like you guys mentioned, yeah, after the first one, oh, hell, I mean, they'll loosen up big time. But, yeah, this is kind of ridiculous for her to put something out there like that. And and then, Barry, hell, you might have to take a double dose of monkey butt, man. I'll hang up and listen.
I totally forgot about the monkey butt. Yeah, I'm definitely not using the monkey butt when I go. No, I'm not going to see that baby. Are you kidding me? I'm not going through all that.
Well, you need that extra sweat in case you want to rub it on the baby.
You could get to the president. You can get into the White House with less rules and regulations and security than you could to see this baby. I keep wanting to call it a stupid-ass baby, but that's not appropriate.
See, because it's not the baby's
fault. But it's
fault.
Pissed me off, then so it feels like it's a stupid-ass baby.
But
you're right.
Yeah, it's not the baby's fault. It's the mom's fault.
Yeah, it is. This poor baby is going to be so sheltered. You watch. She's going to have one of those apps on her phone that tracks everywhere where this kid goes. And oh, my God.
I'm actually okay with that. You're not going to do that?
No, I wouldn't.
I would.
Let your kid live. Let him breathe a little. The way that you become an adult and know right, you make mistakes. And if you shelter someone like that and you never let them make mistakes, they don't understand right from wrong and they don't become an adult. They become this sheltered weirdo that no one wants to hang out with. No, you got to let your kid fail, man. You got to let your kid get sick. You got to let them fail. You got to let they're going to drink in high school. It's all going to happen. They're going to have sex by the time they're 14.
Oh, stop that. Like, you better bite your tongue on that one.
Taylor's
that one.
Taylor, I'll guarantee
you. No.
Is she going to have a 15? Is she going to have a 15?
I don't know what that is.
A quinceañera?
A quinceañera. Oh, a 15.
No, no, no.
She's not?
No, the malls will be safe.
I was going to say, because I would be willing to bet you that within a year, one way or the other, of her 15 is when she would
lose
her virginity.
You better bite your tongue.
I would be willing to bet you.
Pretty much, believe me, Nick, she's going to think she doesn't have that app
truth.
On her phone.
Joe, you
she's going to have that damn app
I'm
on
saying.
Her phone.
You, what are you going to put, a chastity belt with a Bluetooth? It's going to be like, oh, no, somebody tried to open the chastity
belt.
Don't
put that past me, buddy, because I'll tell you right now.
It's going to happen, though. This is why I wouldn't want to have kids, because then you end up with a daughter, and you know she's out there doing things inappropriately with kids on the bus in junior high and getting felt up. And, oh, just forget
about
all that.
Some local young man's going to have Easton backwards on their forehead
See?
And their ass if they ever try that.
Dude,
I'm just letting you know.
I felt my first breasts in, like, the fifth or sixth grade, and they didn't even have any yet.
Was that Kubiak's niece?
No, that was 7th or 8th
okay.
grade. But she had them. Oh,
oh
Lord.
We've heard.
My God. But yeah, I mean, that's going to happen. She's gonna be like tonguing, kissing kids at the skating rink or whatever
hey,
it
if
is
we
in
asked
fifth
her,
grade.
If we asked her about it, by the way,
uh-huh.
Would she say, that's on me? That's my fault. That's on me.
That's on me.
I wonder if she had Gary's quotes memorized. Did you have any kind of sexual contact with Barry Laminack?
That's on me.
That's on me. That's on me, guys.
How come the home team didn't score? That's on me.
That's on me. Yeah.
I got shut down at first base.
Yeah, I let Barry get in the red zone.
Wait,
that's on me.
Is first base kissing or is that feeling up? I forget.
Barry's all, I mean, I'm sorry, but the coach is all about the red zone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, no. Not that young. Not that red zone. Not that young.
Right
no.
about now, Nick's wondering, should I laugh or should I get on that button?
Ooh, I should
boy.
Never have kids.
No.
You've helped me confirm it.
Bro, like, I don't have kids.
Just the way you're talking right now.
If I had a daughter, I would be fifth grade. We're sitting at the dinner table, and I'm looking at her going, you let some kid feel you up already, didn't you? Like, that's, you're just a, God bless it. That's what I did. I was filling up little girls in the fifth grade when I was in the fifth grade.
Man, you've got Joel traumatized.
Happened.
He's going to go home.
You're
thinking
you
about
start,
this for
Well,
weeks.
Here's
you
what I'm doing.
Learning.
I'm thinking,
Dude.
Is it, am I going to be worse or is Lisa? Because I can tell you right now, Lisa is not set. She's not settling for any of that.
No.
That is new.
She'll be like, in news today, I'm going to murder some kid if you don't stop calling my daughter.
I mean, no. That's not happening. So we'll see, because I remember back in the day, too. I'm like you, Nick, because I remember back in the day, like, Charles used to talk, Barkley used to talk about his daughter all the time, and be like, I'll be sitting in the big chair, and under the chair will be a bat, and then if I need my guns, I'll have my guns, too. But I guarantee you, you try and touch my daughter, and it's game on.
How could you not? How could you not
have
be
to
like
be that?
That
way?
Bro, I don't know. And people on Twitter, somebody was like, have a baby first. What does it say? Have a baby before you talk. No, I don't need to. Because I know people. My sister has kids. She wasn't like this. Like, yeah, she would be like, hey, the first 2 weeks, could you wash your hands? Yeah, no problem. But there wasn't all these stupid-ass rules. Don't kiss my baby. Show up with your vax. Get out of here.
By the way, did you guys
see
this?
You don't need to
have
this? A kid to understand how ridiculous that is.
No, you're right. But you know, the other thing is when you're a parent, though, you put yourself in the position of, if that was my kid, just like this, right?
Yep.
But we get home last night. We're watching the news. Did you guys see this? Somewhere, there's a, I don't know if it was like I don't know if it was an ambulance or a bus, or like a bus with a back door.
Yeah.
Okay. I think it was like a mini school bus. One of those mini school buses.
Uh-huh.
Riding down the road, there's someone had a dashboard cam behind it. The back door flies open, and like a four-year-old girl flies out and hits the road and just rolls, and the bus never stopped.
What?
Kept going. Didn't realize the kid was even gone till they got to their destination. Thankfully, an off-duty like cop and paramedic was behind the bus. Rescued the kid, picked her up.
Oh,
she was like
God.
Four. She had like a broken arm or shoulder and everything like that. And it was like, what the hell? Now, if that was my kid, woo! All bets are off.
That's insane.
Yeah, because that bus driver, the company, I mean, I'm going crazy.
Somebody said it's easier to get over Trump's wall or in to see the future bubble baby. Which one's harder? Yeah, bubble baby. Yeah, visitation with the weird kid. That's harder. James said that vaccine's for whooping cough, and it kills babies. I like to call it whooping cough, and it kills babies. What, the vaccine or the whooping cough? I know what it's for, James. That doesn't change the fact that it's weird you making people show up. Like, how about you just, if someone says, oh yeah, I've had that, you're not going to bring proof. I could see that. I could totally see that. But if you're not, if you're an adult and you're not coughing, does that mean you still are spreading whooping cough? I don't think so. I don't know. I'm not a doctor. But all I know is,
I think when we
even if you
this,
exclude that one, the rest of them are idiotic and stupid. And so you can't defend the rest of that. It's dumb.
I think the other thing is,
don't eat garlic. Shut up.
We literally weighed all of the options.
Yeah.
It's so much more worth it to get the kid vaccinated than it, and take that little risk than it is to not have any vaccinations and take the big risk.
Yeah. By the way, somebody said they were, how to put this appropriately.
Made contact with a female below the belt.
I don't know, man. Let's ask Jong. Please don't say anything
okay,
crazy.
Okay, I'll wait. I'll ask Jong if I can say this, and then we'll come back and I'll read Fred's tweet. Because I don't know if I can say it. It has to do with...
You have the worst times to ask whether you could say something or not. Can you wait until the commercial break?
What was the yellow pages? What was the phrase for the yellow pages?
Let your fingers do the walking?
You just said it.
Oh, there you go. On the bus in middle school. I told you that happens.
Yeah.
Fred said that.
I'm not listening right. I can't hear you, la, la, la.
That's right. Turn a blind eye. And when she's on 16 and pregnant, it's because you weren't paying attention.
God help whoever does that. All right. Right now, I want to tell you about Nexen Tires. They're the leading warranty in the tire industry. Exclusive free roadside assistance. You got a flat tire? They can help. Nexen will change your tire, tow your vehicle for free. Fastest growing tire brand, trusted by automotive manufacturers all everywhere. Check out Nexen Tire on the web to learn more at NexenTireUSA.com.
My name is Bob Lee, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5. The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Barry, Nick, and Joel till 4, Usual Suspects right here with plenty more show to go. We did have a great lineup already for you today. If you missed it, please go back and check the podcast because we've had great guests. We had Barry Trammell, the beat writer for the Oklahoman, who asked the question of Steven Adams, answered by Russell Westbrook, which was the shot heard around the world last night. We followed that up with movie moments from Trey on a Monday, so you can check back and get that one as well. And then we had Rockets longtime favorite Vernon Maxwell on. And he was as candid as he always is, with great answers about everything from when fans yelled at him, and it was in Portland. He didn't mention that, but it was in Portland, and made the insensitive remarks about his stillborn daughter and how difficult that was, to just breaking down everything from Pat Beverly and the comparisons to him. But Barry had a great idea we're going to have to try and work on. Somehow, some way, if we could get those two in a room together. By the way, if you're the Rockets, and
that was
Nick's
idea.
Was it, Nick, your great idea?
Yeah. Well, I just think a conversation between Bev and Vernon would be hilarious. And then we kind of spun it off to the, what was the name of the?
Between Two Verns.
Between Two Verns, yeah.
Like Between Two Ferns, yep. With Zach Galifianakis. Yeah. What a
that
great name.
That would be fantastic. And by the way, I know the broadcasting department is severely lacking over at the Rockets these days. But if someone could help make that happen.
Although, have you seen singing a cappella with Capella?
Yes. I have.
Those are really good.
Yes, they are.
They're hilarious.
Yes, they are. And remember where the name came from.
You?
I used it, yeah, on air.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
How's your
everything
use
it? Was a cappella for Clint highlights.
Ah, yep. I see.
See what I did there?
Yeah.
Yeah, so definitely if someone over there on Polk Street could pull their head out long enough to figure out that they might want to make that happen because...
Yeah.
The one thing that I do know is thankfully they finally made the effort to kind of go back and not only acknowledge, but reach out and bring, not just for the 50th anniversary season, but to bring the greats of the championship years back into the fold. It's something Mario and I have talked about forever that they really needed to do. But I hope that now that they've got it started with this whole celebrating the 50th year of the franchise, that next year when there isn't anything to celebrate, because a lot of the guys noticed that they were brought back on a game against Denver when they weren't going to sell out, and suddenly it was a sellout because it was a championship team, that they're like, how about bringing us back on a more consistent basis so that they can, again, reconnect with the fans, the city, and also, you know, get something out of it as well, too. So hopefully, even next year, when all that hoopla of the 50th anniversary season is over, they continue to bring back the Vernon Maxwells, the Otis Thorpes, the guys that were unsung heroes on those teams. I mean, everyone wants a little more Pete Chilcutt, don't they?
Oh, of course.
Chucky Brown.
Of Pete course. Chilcutt. That's a blast from the
Chili
past.
Chili Pete.
Oh, see, I was going to say, as long as we don't call him Chili Pete.
Why?
Chili Pete.
Why?
In the building.
He was dropping threes from Katie, baby.
Oh, God. You're going to be choked on
cold
your first
blooded
day back.
Threes.
I don't mind cold blooded.
3-point play the whole fashion way.
I'm good with those, too.
Huh?
Those are good.
Oh, that's
those
this
are
year.
Fine. Yeah, those are fine.
Huh?
That one, not so much.
Clyde, what'd you see? Oh, Bill. Woo!
Right there, that guy scored. Back to you, woo! Bill.
Like, what? Oh, he just put that one in.
Sometimes you got to make points in order to score.
What? That was from Friendswood, Clyde, huh? Okay, I'm done.
Oh, man. We're going to see them in the hall at the Toyota Center.
That's all right. Drax can take it.
Can he?
Yeah.
Is he a good sport?
Oh, he's a good sport.
Good.
Yeah. Bill? He could be a little crotchety from time to time.
Well, I could do it. I think I could take Bill.
I'm sure Bill is not listening.
If I can deal with Barry Warner.
I would bet on that.
If I could deal with Barry Warner, I can deal with Bill Worrell.
Bill still has a flip phone, so I don't think he's doing anything with apps.
He's still got the side pack phone that you carry around like a man purse.
No, Barry's
got the brick.
Well, Barry's got the Merce.
Yeah, but I'm saying Bill Worrell strikes me as a guy that still carries the big brick battery phone.
Not that big, no.
Oh, I bet. I bet he still has the antenna
can
for his
still
car
use
phone.
Use a flip phone. Like,
yeah,
I didn't
yeah.
even know that exists.
Yeah, they still work.
It takes him 30 minutes to send a text, though. He's got his function go through all those numbers, then he messes
you know what,
up.
What's a great question?
It's like on the rotary dial when you screwed up the number. Damn it, you got to start
Who's
over.
Who's got the more modern phone, Worrell or Foley? Because Foley finally got a cell phone, but I just can't imagine that. I'm sure because of the program, you know, when you get on a cell phone program, they give you a more updated phone.
Yeah.
But I would wonder, I would go with Foley having a more modern phone than Worrell.
You think?
I do. Simply because, like I said, because the provider, you get a free phone when you get a cell phone service.
Okay.
That I would think.
I could see that. Somebody texted to the show about the conversation about daughters.
Yes.
Said, I have 4 daughters, ages 25, 23, 18, and 15.
Good Lord.
And 2 grandsons. Tell Joel. It's gonna happen. That was from Studi Woodbo. It's gonna happen. Mm-mm. Yeah.
Mm. I don't want to hear anymore.
Yep.
Oh.
Okay.
Boy.
This one doesn't sound right. I fiddled. Let's see if I can read.
Just stop.
No, I'm gonna read this.
Just stop.
This is from Eric. He says, "This is."
I need a bleep button.
I fiddled my first bald man in the canoe. When I was 14.
Oh, my God. This is a female texter texting?
Oh, that's very factual from Eric.
That's a dude?
You don't know. I don't think you know what he's talking about. The bald man in the canoe?
Oh, got it now. Yep, never mind.
Guys, don't make me use the medical term for
it. Got it now. Nick's on the button.
I'm going to use the medical term for
Nick's
it.
Playing, Nick's ready to start playing asteroids on the button.
And here I wanted to go a whole week without talking about genitalia on the show to prove I could do it.
Yeah, right. Now I almost Vernon Maxwell.
Yes, you did.
Oh, and that would have been hilarious. Nick giving me a look as he hit the button.
That is too funny.
Boy, I'll tell you what. By the way, Chan, he tweets in again. He's got a picture of Pat Bev on Channel 2's coverage.
Yeah, and they put Ariza.
And the graphic says Trevor Ariza.
That's not good.
Come on. You know better than that.
Yeah. I wanted to get your opinion on something.
All right.
From Game 3.
Friday?
Yeah. And I asked Nick about it, and he had a great a point of view from it. Shaq kind of disagreed with me. AJ definitely disagreed with me. But Harden taking that last 3,
mm-hmm.
I really felt like driving the lane was the better play there. I really felt like getting to the hole, there's a couple of things that could happen that gives you a higher percentage of at least tying the game and sending it in overtime where you have a better chance to win.
Mm-hmm.
He was 4 of 11 from the field from behind the 3-point line.
Right.
He's a 40% shooter at best. So you look at, there's 2 outcomes that happen from the 3-point line. You make it or miss it. and at 40%, but as bad as he was shooting, I would say there was somewhere between a 30 to 35% chance he makes that shot. As opposed to driving the lane, you could get fouled and go to the free throw line. You can make the bucket or you miss. But those are two of three options as opposed to one of two. So your percentages are higher. Plus in the paint, it's a higher percentage shot. To me, the better percentage was driving the lane and going into overtime. AJ's argument was he's got five fouls. Harden has five fouls. Bevitt fouled out. You go for the win, and you live to fight another day if you don't make it. Yeah, what are your thoughts on that?
So here's the thing, though, because I played basketball the next day with my normal group of guys, and they all want to know the same thing. And I said, well, one, you heard from the sideline reporter who was actually right on it, that D'Antoni had said, if they miss the free throw, we're not calling timeout, which I agree with because they're expecting a timeout. So you already got the defense on their heels, yep, which is a good thing. Okay, but at that point, then it becomes Harden's read. My take is much like what you said. If he was having one of those nights where he was really on fire from downtown, then I understand it for the simple fact that on the road, you play for the win, not the tie, because in overtime and with the momentum and the crowd, you run the risk of it going the other way. So if he's having one of those nights, then I believe in the read. But he was getting to the basket so easily. And I was telling the guys, when you watch him, whether you agree or disagree with some of his style, he gets more open looks closer to the basket than most anybody in this league simply because of his body control, his ability to step back, his head and shoulder fakes. And all you had to do there was give one of those fakes at the top of the key, and I'm pretty sure you were going to get the, you might even gotten the and one, mm-hmm, but you were probably either going to get fouled and or he was going to get a pretty clean look at a layup or a real short shot. And at that point, that's all you want, because I think the only thing that I could say to his defense would be to what you said. There was foul trouble. They weren't in a great position all night offensively. They weren't making their threes, and they might have had more trouble than good had they elongated the game too long. But I really thought that was the smart play. He makes the read, and then he goes on attack mode.
Yeah.
And you might, who knows, the whole lane might collapse, and you still might find an open shooter, yep, in the corner.
Which is what Nick said. How about penetrate and look for Lou Williams, who was 3 for 4 from behind, yep, the arc, or even Eric Gordon or whoever's in the game, Anderson. I mean, Ariza, that's what they're there for. That's their role. And that was a great point that he made, is look to, you had almost 9 seconds.
Right, you had plenty of time.
Penetrate and dish for the last second shot, because he was 4 of 11. In that situation, I felt like the points in the paint, you had won the battle of the points in the paint in that game, too.
Yep.
They had 50 points.
And in most cases, you'd see Adams come over. The weak side help would be there. And you'd want that, because then, instead of a contested shot like he got,
yep,
you're not only getting a three, but you're getting a clean look at a three. We all know Pat Bev, Ariza, all those guys shoot a way better percentage when there's no one near them.
And I'll take my chances even in the overtime with Westbrook, because he can go cold at the drop of a hat.
He sure did. And did you see that stat?
And in overtime, I would take my chances that he shoots them out of overtime. Especially with, even if Harden were to foul out, which, you know,
he could have.
You still
five,
got
right.
Gordon, you still got Williams, Ariza, and Anderson that can still play that fourth
quarter.
Did
you guys see plenty that stat,
shooters,
by the way?
Plenty of offense left.
No, the greatest amount of missed shots by any superstar or player in the league in a playoff game in a quarter before, yeah, Westbrook the other night was 10. Mm. And then he missed 15 in the fourth quarter.
Wow.
Yeah. When is the right time to use Harden as a decoy where he just penetrates in and
I
just
think that's one of
out.
Those.
Because it might be
on
better
a night
against
that
the Spurs.
He's 4 from 12 behind, yeah, the arc. Yeah, that's one of those times.
So take the San Antonio Memphis game the other night, right? Leonard went on that run. They had the ball with, like, again, 4 or 5 seconds left on the clock. Everyone, including some of the most brain dead announcers doing the game, were like, they're going to Leonard. Okay? That's when you use it. Yeah. Everyone in the building thinks James just ran off 11 in a row. That's when you use the decoy, because that's when everybody's not expecting it.
Yep.
So, all right, we got a half hour to go in the show. We're at one more break point before we get back into more stuff. If you guys want to join the show, please feel free to talk about dirty babies. Please don't talk about any other things about violating daughters and at a young age. But we can talk sports. We can talk about a lot of things. 713-780-ESPN on the HRNP listener line, where you can text and call or hit us up on Twitter. We're here till 4. Usual suspects on ESPN 97.5.
This is Ed Too Tall Jones, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.
This
is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Joel, Nick, and Barry till 4 on The Usual Suspects. We were talking before the break about the Harden shot on Friday night. He's a hero if it goes in, regardless.
Of course.
But that's a read-and-react play, you know, and you have to trust that your best player, who has some of the best court vision in the league, is going to read the defense and react accordingly. And in that case, in that situation, you believe, and again, if he was hot from three, I get it.
Yes,
but
totally.
I think that he's so damn good around the basket. Even if he gets the contact, he's still going to finish at the rim. That you take your chances that you not only are going to get two free throws out of the deal, but you might get an and one.
Yeah, I wish I had his points in the paint. I know that at that game, he was 4 for 12 from 3-point, but he was 11 of 21 from, you know, field goal range, and 18 of 18 from the free throw line. So if he does get fouled, and I get it, Josh Rapp said, you got to take into account that the refs are going to let them play with 8 seconds left. Yes, that's great, but that option is still there. If it's an egregious foul, they're going to call it. So, I still think there's that high. You can't win if you don't get to overtime. And
right.
The best way to
exactly
do that
right.
was, yeah. And then, like Nick said about the dish, and there's just so much. There were much better options than him doing pulling up for a three right
like
there.
You can't worry about overtime if you can't get there.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah, you take your chances with, even if he fouls out in the first 30 seconds, I'll take my chances with Eric Gordon as my point guard, Lou Williams as my shooting guard, Trevor Ariza, Ryan Anderson, and Ethan Capella or Nene in the game. I'll take my chances with that.
I agree with you, because at least you got a fighting chance. You're in overtime with 5 minutes more to be decided instead of going home with a couple point loss.
Yep. And then let Westbrook see if he falls apart on his own or not.
That was what Mario Elie mentioned. Actually, Mario Elie was in studio with Nate Griffin on Channel 26 last week. And he said the reason why he was open on that kiss of death shot is because they made a decision to guard Hakeem instead of him. I don't know if it's going to work against every team. You know, Greg Popovich might look for someone or D'Antoni to use Harden as a decoy, but it definitely could happen for sure.
For sure. Yeah. And again, on the flip side, Popovich is smart enough to know that if the whole world's keying on Kawhi Leonard, he'll do the same thing and let Danny Green get a wide open look at a three, or let someone else, you know, Aldridge from mid-range, who's deadly.
I mean, Harden isn't that much better of a shooter from behind the three-point line that you wouldn't trust Lou Williams or Eric Gordon to take that shot. You know what I mean?
And honestly, I don't think that there's a better contested three-point shooter, maybe in the league, than Lou Williams.
Oh, I would agree with you on that.
Yeah.
And he can shoot them not just straight away, but he'll shoot
off
them
balance.
Off balance, fading away. He'll run down past the elbow there, down the side of the court there, and literally be going out of bounds as he shoots it. The dude can shoot it from anywhere with a hand in his face.
He's one of those guys that when he takes that shot, you might say, oh, man, that wasn't a good look, but you excused it for Lou Williams because he does it all the time.
Because he makes so many of them.
Yeah. By the way, Barry just gave us a little Wisconsin there.
What?
You know that mark there? When you go by that mark there over there on the three-point line there, when you shoot that one there, don't you know, you betcha, he makes them more than he misses. Good Lord, you betcha.
I need some curds.
That's exactly right. Jason, you want to get in here on James Harden. What's up?
Hey, what's up, guys? I love the show. Big Rockets fan I've been since the Keem days, but I did want to make a comment. You know, being such a basketball nerd as I am, you know, a lot of people ask me all the time why Harden, you don't think Harden will ever win a championship, and my always response is he just never has that come playoff time, the killer instinct. Now, this year, it started off with a bang with all these great games from him, but I wanted you all's take on this last game. It sort of reminded me of the old playoff Harden, even when it came down to McHale sitting him down in the playoffs because of the lack of effort or the need to just continue to pass the ball and not be aggressive with trying to score. I saw a lot of that in game four. I was terrified throughout the game watching Harden just drive in, easy 5-10-foot little jumpers that he can make that he's just constantly dipping and thinking it off to other players. I just wanted y'all's comment on what y'all thought about that.
Barry?
Nick, go ahead.
I think he will I mean, the fact that he's talking about him not winning a championship based on the fact that he dishes it off and doesn't have that killer instinct. LeBron kind of had the similar criticism against him. He didn't have that killer instinct, and he didn't. And now he's considered the best player in the league. I don't necessarily believe that that hinders him from ever getting a championship. I think it's just a matter of getting the right players and the Rockets surrounding him. And I think they've done a good job. I mean, you look at the progression that they've made so far from last year to this year. I think they're on the right track. But to just to say that James Harden will never win a championship based on the fact that he doesn't have a killer instinct, he may be still be growing, and it may be later in his career. I know this is the time. It's his prime. He's, what, almost 30? Well, he's 28, I guess. But, I mean, that criticism has been made by against many great players, like not just James Harden.
Yeah, and I don't – I mean – There's the difference between having the killer instinct and just and finishing, right? Mm-hmm. Like there's having the opportunities, there's performing in those situations, and then there's just not performing or going for the kill. And I wouldn't sit here and say that any of these guys don't have the killer instinct. You don't get to the NBA and become the kind of player that Harden is if you don't have that killer instinct. Sometimes you just don't execute. And that's there's a big difference in that. Like that night, he went for the win. That's a killer instinct.
Yep.
He just didn't execute. So,
right.
I mean, me wanting him to drive the lane, that's more passive. That's not a killer instinct. That's like
that's just making the right basketball player too. I mean, if it's taking what the defense gives you, they were pushing up. They were expecting him to shoot that three. So just read the defense and say, I can blow his doors off, and I'm already into the teeth of the defense.
Yeah.
For a better look.
Yeah.
And what I would say to Jason on the call, too, is it's a maturation thing, but it's twofold. He's not wrong about what happened in that Clipper game, and that's why McHale wouldn't put him back in, because there was a lot of quitting that dog, right? When they got down by 20-some, he was ready to bail. He thought summer was starting.
Okay.
And then they brought him back. But the same way that he has matured, and we've seen it based on what we were just talking about, the organization's got to mature with him. We're seeing exactly what it looked like 2 years ago when you look at the Thunder. You got a player that's all world.
That's a great point.
And as an organization, they haven't matured around him to be smart enough to put the pieces around him to make the team better. That's what you saw about the Rockets. When you put Lou Williams and Eric Gordon and Ryan Anderson and even Nene, which was a cagey pickup at a steal of a price, those were the right fits at the right time for a guy that was looking for a way to take that next step. So he matured, and then the franchise matured with him. Oklahoma City's got to take that next maturation step as a franchise now that they have the player that stepped up. So I think that from that standpoint, that's how I would answer that, because there's no doubt that McHale rewarded the guys like Corey Brewer and Josh Smith that were the reason why they got back in that ball game. And he said, we had the conversation candidly several times, where he said, I know that James wanted to go back in, and he should have. He goes, but I just couldn't do that as a coach to keep the respect of my players. To take guy, who am I going to take out? They all busted their ass to get us back in that ball game, and when we got the lead, should I punish someone?
Yeah,
he just said he couldn't do it.
I mean, I will question James Harden's decision making. He definitely needs to work on that. Now, whether that falls into poor execution or him not having the killer instinct, I'll leave that up to you guys. But I mean, like that one pass that turnover, that bad pass with 41 seconds, and you're up, drain the clock. Before making a crazy pass like that.
That's a good point itself. Just make the smart basketball decision to not pass it.
Yeah. But I mean, don't confuse that with killer instinct.
Right.
What all these deficiencies or lack of execution or boneheaded plays, most of these guys have that drive and that killer instinct.
Yep.
You know what I mean?
It's not about he loves basketball and he's got a killer instinct. It's just about maturing to make the right play, like the right read, or like you said, don't pass that ball. Just keep running out, run most of the clock out. Then you can do whatever the hell you want with it.
Yeah.
So... Right now, I want to tell you about Infuse Energy. That's a locally owned and operated company. CEO Josh Pesikoff and his staff do a great job of making sure they tailor-make energy programs for you, your business, your family, and they fit your needs, not theirs. It's not like getting a rate that's beneficial to them. It's a rate that's beneficial to you, and they base it on your usage. If you use a lot during the day and not so much at night, the plan will be made accordingly, and vice versa. If you use a lot at night but not during the day, they'll make sure the plan echoes those sentiments. Right now, if you mention ESPN 97.5, you get a $25 bill credit right off the top from Infuse Energy. They have customer service among everything else. No automated systems. You call them, and they make sure a human being is there to answer your questions, take care of your customer service needs, and find a program that's right for you. It's 844-INFUSE2, 844-463-8732, or InfuseEnergy.com. Make sure you realize that they're 100% green energy at your fingertips. You sign up and get a green plan. It offsets your electricity use with renewable energy credits. That decreases your carbon footprint, and they got your back at all times. They're affordable, hassle-free. They're not trying to screw you or make a buck. They're the company that has your back, and because they're locally owned and operated, they're easy to get to, easy to get through to, and easy to make sure that you get what you need out of your energy company. Again, Infuse Energy, that's InfuseEnergy.com, or 844-INFUSE2.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Barry, Nick, and Joel till 4, till we turn it over to Fred, A.J. Jong, and the Blitz. Right here on ESPN 97.5. We were fairly basketball-centric, as we should be today.
Did you see this article? What was it from? USA Today, for the win. Warren Sapp. Your boy Warren Sapp is not a believer in your boy Myles Garrett. And from the headline, it just says, Hall of Famer Warren Sapp rips projected number one pick Myles Garrett. I see a lazy kid. From the quote from ESPN, I don't see it from this kid, Sapp said Sunday about Garrett. I see the splash plays. Everybody gets those. Where's the game he took over? Where? Any defensive lineman who's the number one pick, you turn up and you say, there it is. This kid, no, I don't. I'm a pretty plain and frank guy. I watch the tape and he disappears. I watch the tape and he absolutely disappears.
And, well, my boy Warren Sapp doesn't know what he's talking about to some in a lot of ways. But my boy Barry Laminack's been saying that for like months now, that similar to Jadeveon Clowney, you've been the one saying he takes plays off. He's, you know, there's going to be questions about his ticker and going on every play. So it's not like we've heard it here before.
Yeah, and you know what? I mean, he's got the physical tools to be a star, but I don't know if he's going to be as big as everyone, all these draft experts and combine folks and everyone that's watching his workouts and pro days think he's going to be, because having watched him and his entire career at A&M, yes, he has those explosive plays, and yes, he has those where you watch him and go, boy, you know, he's quick. But then there were times where I watch it and go, what is he doing? Why is he's literally just out there playing patty cake sometimes. And
there's
a
big difference between Dwayne The Rock Johnson and J.J. Watt. And what I mean by that is, just like Myles Garrett, you can look like a physical specimen.
Yep.
You can be ripped up and overly strong, and you can test out to the highest degree. But until you take that play test, and again, it's one thing to play at A&M, which you're still going to get your share of Mother Teresa's School of the Incapables of course. Your schedule and whatever. But when you're doing it day in, day out, night in, night out on the highest level possible, then you're going to win people over. But until you do, there's going to be some questions. And when people see the tape that you've seen, there's going to be more questions.
Yeah. And I mean, I hope he does well. I hope he proves me wrong. I hope he's a superstar. I hope he's the next J.J. Watt. I hope he breaks all the sack records. But just from watching him, I don't see that yet. Could he be? Sure. Physically, I watched him come in. He was scrawny when he first got to A&M. When he left, he's a specimen. That's a big, big dude.
Mm-hmm.
And he's strong now, and he wasn't when he got there. And so, I mean, he's working, but just in games, it just looked like, you know, which was the knock on Clowney. He took plays
exactly
off.
Right.
He wasn't into it. So I could see a very similar pattern where he comes out his first year or two and, you know, not, I mean, Clowney struggled with injuries, don't get me wrong, but he was learning the game, and people were still questioning whether Clowney was really, you know, mentally wanting to live up to the hype. I mean, you know, there was a lot of rumors behind the scenes about what the Texans were doing to Clowney or not doing. And considering, is this our last straw with Clowney? So don't be surprised if that happens with Garrett. But again, he does have the physical tools to be a star.
And I bring up The Rock because he played defensive line at Miami, and he looked like a chiseled specimen. But as a football player, there's a big difference.
Yep.
In the NBA, the same thing could be said of Joey Dorsey. He looked like – he always told everybody – Joey Dorsey was a rock. He was chiseled. He was cut. He was lean. You know, he used to tell everybody if he didn't play basketball, he'd be a porn star because he had, you know, the ultimate athletic strong body.
Yeah.
But you still got to perform, and we all know how Joey Dorsey performed on the court.
Yeah.
And so, that's what Myles Garrett's going to face. He's going to face until he can, you know, answer the music and show that, hey, I'm not an every other down guy. That I am going to be one of those guys that you can count on and lean on, just like Clowney had to prove himself. And it took a while.
Yep, it did.
But he finally did.
And now he's that guy that I think you can look at and go, all right, we know we can do it now at this level. But I still question, I mean, Clowney had an outstanding year, but do you so are you just like 100% he's the man, he's going to be, you know what I mean? He could break sack records? Because no. I still feel like he's got more to prove.
I agree. I think, look, here's the thing. There's a huge, right, just some people have the sophomore slump, whatever you want to call it. But here's the thing. You've got to prove it wasn't just a one-hit wonder. You got to prove that with JJ on the other side that you're capable of doing at least what you did last year and then some. It's the same way people looked at Merciless and other guys and said, look, same thing. Look, we were impressed as all get out in what you did for one season. But you got to make sure that that's a career. That continues to be the norm, not like, you know, catching lightning in a bottle. So it'll be interesting to see, because I really would like to see what happens with each guy on the edge, with JJ on one side and Clowney on the other. That's going to be a pretty intimidating line to look at when you're behind center on the other side.
It is.
Right?
That's what Texans fans have been waiting for. Is J.J. Watt on one side and the number one pick version of Jadeveon Clowney on the other side.
But the other thing that you and I keep saying is...
Because people keep ripping me for my prediction of the Texans going 10-6. They're like, do you believe in...
For this upcoming season?
Yeah, they're like, oh, that's dumb. Do you believe in that quarterback? No, but I believe in that defense, and I still do. I know that they lost some guys in the secondary.
Well, not just a second. John Simon's got to be replaced.
Hugh Dims played out of his mind for the first time ever.
But just replace them with quality players,
right? Bouye went off for, 8 games?
Right. I'm not worried about Bouye, but I'm just saying like a John Simon. Guys that you're going to need.
I'm not even worried about Simon,
I need guys that are going to fill the roles of those guys that left and not rely on just the draft.
That's true.
You got to get some veteran guys that you can rely on, too, just as glue guys.
Yep. But the draft defensively is deep enough to do that.
Yeah, and they have holes to fill, but there's still guys out there without contracts too that can, besides the draft, that can be had as well. So we'll get more football centric as well, because the draft is coming up with the first round on Thursday. So we got plenty to talk to, but really, all in all, a great first day back on the job for me. But with you guys,
welcome back, man.
Good to be back, and we stacked them. Vernon Maxwell. If you missed any of it, Vernon Maxwell. Or Trey's movie moments, anything you want to catch the podcast and make sure you catch up with us. But we'll be back tomorrow and every day, Monday through Friday, right here 1 to 4 on ESPN 97.5, The Usual Suspects.
ESPN 97.5.